Won't some get some?
How about those friggin' pirates?
Yes, I am a pirate.
You have to go with the pirates because, of course, they have cannons and everything.
It's a pirate's life for me.
Be proud of who you are and what you are. You're a pirate.
It is a first down. Pirates.
Because when you're at East Carolina, you go for it every time. Or you don't coach at East Carolina, you don't come to East Carolina, you don't play at East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it.
I think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. It was deafening in there.
You will get them all. I can promise you that.
Painted purple all night long in Eastern North Carolina.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. We are talking Pirate baseball today, what you would expect us to be discussing this time of year. The Pirates, of course, victorious on Tuesday, 12-4 over the Rice Owls with that 12-run bottom of the eighth inning. And, you know, in addition to talking a little about the here and now, we're going to be more focused on the big picture of East Carolina athletics or in baseball, specifically as it pertains to NIL. And under that Team Boneyard hat, you, of course, have the 23 Club. And right now, very excited to be joined by one of the guys leading the way with that, and that is, of course, ECU baseball alum from 2001 to 2004, and that's Mike Harrington. Mike, we appreciate your time.
Bubba, thanks for having me. Glad we finally linked up.
No doubt. Appreciate you spending a half hour with us as we talk Pirate baseball and specifically the 23 Club. Before we dive into the 23 Club, just give Pirates out there, that aren't familiar with yourself, just a background. Like I mentioned, you played for East Carolina for Keith LeClair as well as Randy Mazie from 2001 to 2004. Had the opportunity to take part in a couple of super regionals and a whole lot of success. You were a teammate of Cliff Godwin in 01, of course. So tell folks about your background with the Pirates.
Yeah, I'm a hometown boy. I'm born and raised Greenville, North Carolina. Played at Rose High School, played Winterville Little League, Babe Ruth, the whole thing. So I grew up in a baseball town, and really the dream was, right? The dream is play college baseball, and really growing up, ECU, we'd go to the games. It was really enjoyable. Coach O was there, who was awesome. So, staying home and playing for ECU was the goal. And I got that opportunity with Coach LeClair. Really didn't know if it was going to work out or not, but he brought me in his office one day after a camp and said he wanted to be a Pirate. So what do? You say yes immediately and you get to work. But, played – actually redshirted. So I actually was a freshman in 99 to 2000. So I redshirted and then played from 01 to 04 with a bunch of phenomenal guys. Cliff, of course, Eric Backage at Clemson, Nick Schnabel, Bryant Ward, Clayton McCullough, and then all the guys that I play with in the career, Ryan Jones, John Poppert, the Lawhorns, Ryan Norwood, these guys. So really got around a lot of good baseball. I think I mentioned this at the banquet, you're not going to find my name in any record books, of course. I was a utility guy. I was there if you needed me. I worked my butt off. I was a teammate guy. But you play 4 or 5 years in any Division I athletics, whether it be football, baseball, basketball, or what, to me, that's a big accomplishment. So enjoyed my time there. Did a tremendous amount for me later in life. And, glad to be giving back and being here and maybe help the next generation.
Yeah, like you're saying, folks that haven't done it don't understand the commitment and everything that's involved, just year-round, and so much hard work goes into what you see on game day and the success that's had or not had. And fortunately, in terms of East Carolina baseball, pretty much nothing but success down through the years. And obviously, it's gone to a whole nother level under the leadership of your former teammate Cliff Godwin over the last decade. But before we dive into the 23 club and the origins of it, you talk about Coach LeClaire and him coming into the program, what an impact he had in those five seasons, three straight number one seeds. But to you specifically, you know, what's a moment or two maybe that Pirate fans don't know about as far as Coach LeClaire or maybe impacting you personally? He left such an indelible impact on the program.
Yeah, Coach was one of those guys where, you know, he'd always talk about brutal honesty, right? Brutal honesty and coming in as like all of us, right? We were the studs on our teams growing up. We were the best players usually, or one of the best players on, you know, in our leagues. You know, Coach comes in and says, look, I'm going to be brutally honest with you, if nothing else, right? I think you deserve that. The program deserves that. And, you know, if you weren't going to cut it, right, if you weren't going to cut it on, at a position, if you weren't going to cut it on the team, he was going to let you know that. And he was very brutally honest with me from the get-go. I was signed as a catcher, came in first year, didn't go so hot. Hopefully, I didn't do as well as I wanted to. And he looked at me at the end of the season, kind of exit interviews after the first year. He said, hey, Mike, you know, you can go ahead and take your catcher's equipment and throw it in the trash. And I'm like, okay, well, thank you. That's pretty brutal. But he said, I want you to play infield. We're going to move you. We're going to try some new things. You know, we're going to go from there. And that was, you know, I really appreciated that. I mean, you know, at the time when I came in, we had Cliff. We had some really good players. And then Clayton came in from Vanderbilt, right? And of course, you know, phenomenal player. Played with him growing up as well. We went to high school together. So it just made sense. It made sense for me to move, let those guys do what they do best. But, you know, that kind of stuff was team-wide. I mean, he was going to tell you like it was. At that level of baseball, that's what you got to have. And I think Cliff continues with that as well. And, you know, sometimes it's very difficult, right? It's very difficult to make those decisions, but it's fair. It's only fair to the player and it's fair to the entire team. If you can do that. So it was a big learning, you know, growing up curve for me, but I'm glad he did it.
One of the things you always hear from Cliff now is reflecting back, some of his thought process behind Mission Week, and it wasn't necessarily called Mission Week, I don't think, under Coach LeClaire, but if it was not, it was very similar and, I mean, really probably even a step above what Coach Godwin does now, because now, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on your perspective, in this day and age, you cannot do some of those things involved with the crawling under barbed wire and so forth in the current premium lot, former white lot there behind Town Bank Tower. And so what are some of your memories of what would now be called Mission Week if it was not Mission Week then?
Oh, I try not to think about it a whole lot, to be honest with you, Bubba.
I bet.
You know, I never forget one time we were in the weight room and after we had done some stuff and, you know, we kind of crossed paths with the football team every once in a while. And then these guys come in and they were like, man, I'm glad I don't play baseball. And that, you know, that I think that says it all right there, right? As much as those guys have to do. But, you know, the whole point of testing the obstacle courses, which we called it obstacle course. We had 300s, which are the 300-yard sprints. All of that stuff was completely about mental toughness, right? It was 100% about mental toughness. It wasn't about how strong you were, how fast you were, any of that sort of stuff. And, you know, if, you know, Coach LeClaire, his foresight was, you know, it's a 56-game schedule plus – hopefully playoffs, regionals, those sort of things. Like what we do now in the fall, what we do now in the winter, that's what matters at the end of the season, right? And you've got to have the mental toughness to battle through when you're tired, when you're hurt, when you don't want to be there. Look, there's tons of time. You can ask any of those guys. I mean, we used to run 300s on Wednesdays, right? And then we would measure our weeks based on how many more days we had to run 300s. So it was just in our mind constantly. And, you know, but looking back on it now, I mean, getting through that sort of stuff, I'm like, oh my God, if I can get through that, right? In life, I can get through anything. Everything else is a piece of cake. And I think that did more for a lot of guys than they realized. It did a lot for me because I was struggling on a lot of that stuff, you know, as I went through it, but, you know, got through it, made me feel like $1 million. And, you know, those guys today, you know, they carry that same mentality. I can see it. You know, it matters. It's mental toughness. It's getting through when you're hurt, when you're tired, when you don't want to be there. And we're seeing it now at the end of the season. I mean, these guys stepped it up and they're fighting, and off we go.
Exactly. You know, Pirates have been without a few of their top arms. You know, unfortunately, in the last 24 hours or so, received some very unfortunate news about Treya Savage, but Coach Godwin, as he so often does, did an excellent job of, you know, kind of putting the truth out there and not letting the rumors continue to spread concerning Trey. And fingers crossed that we'll have him back for regional weekend. But overcame so much adversity to win a fifth straight regular season title. And we were discussing that pre-show off the air. Just that's remarkable, because you look at the success that was had in the Keith LeClaire era, you know, winning 46, 47 games on an annual basis and three straight number one seeds. But as much success as was had, you only had one regular season title, and that was in 2001, which just really speaks to what's been accomplished these last 5 years.
Yeah, I just, you know, I don't think we really fully appreciate how hard it is, number one, to win 40 games in a season. And Coach LeClaire would always talk about that, 40 games, 40 games. That's sort of the goal. That's the measuring stick. That's the start of the measuring stick. People don't understand how difficult that is. People also don't understand how difficult it is to win that championship, that conference championship. And it matters, right? Some folks, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. Let's get to the tournament, and then we'll win that, and we'll go to the regionals. Well, if you look at our history, the tournament is not our bread and butter, right? I mean, the conference tournament is not our bread and butter. So, you know, being able to grind through a season, and it's different. I mean, every one of these teams, we talked about it, the talent difference between all of these teams is very small, right? Everybody's good. Everybody can hit. Everybody can pitch. Anybody can be anybody on any given day. And what matters is, and what separates teams, is those intangibles. I think really is that culture, is that sort of stuff that East Carolina has built over 25, 30 plus years of knowing how to win, guy after guy, team after team, and it's just a snowball effect. So, you know, it's really, really impressive. And I know sometimes we get the knock, oh, they're the best team that's never been to Omaha. Well, guess what? It's hard as hell to get to Omaha too. And, you know, we will break that glass ceiling eventually, but you got to appreciate what this program has done and what this team has done specifically this year to get us to a point to win again. I mean, it's really cool to see year after year, and kudos to all them involved.
Honing in on the 23 club, tell us about the origins. You know, I had a conversation back early in the season, and shortly after the 23 club was announced, you know, right there prior to the start of the season, and going into that UNC weekend, a big victory over the Tar Heels in Fayetteville to even the series at that point, and had some conversations that day with Davey Penny, you know, one of your former teammates. Also Warren Gaspar, a.k.a. Warren G, was there. And I know those guys, as well as a whole lot of others, have really bought in when it comes to the 23 club and giving back.
Yeah, in fact, all of those guys, we were we had a bunch of us. And first time we've done this in years. I mean, years. But, you know, Glenn Tucker and Davey put together sort of a little – weekend at the lake for all of us, and we had a bunch of guys show up. You know, we wanted more, but you know, life happens, right? But we all showed up and we were having a good old time, and as all good ideas happen, right, around a campfire with a beer in your hand, we said, hey, you guys heard about this NIL thing? And that was sort of the kernel of the conversation. So you know, we were chatting about it. We thought about it. And what ended up was a, hey, let's just, you know, let's make some calls. You know, if we want to compete, right, if we want to compete at the highest level, we're top 10, top 15 program perpetually, like we want to stay, you know, reluctantly, we're going to have to get involved in this. And we did. But we have a little slightly different lens on what the ultimate goal of the 23 club is. Yes, it's for opportunities for our current players, right? It's to be able to attract and retain the best talent, right? But it's also what we feel a big benefit is going to be in the long run is an alumni network of former players who are now in the professional industry of whatever they do, right? Jeremy Schumacher's a high, super high-end custom home builder, right? He's part of it. Jason Howard, financial advisor. Chad Tracy, right? Everybody knows Chad. So we want to create this alumni network that also helps guys after baseball. And I think, you know, if we can create that and do it correctly, you know, not only is it going to help us currently with our team, it's going to help us with these guys now giving back to the club, giving their time, their resources, and it's a snowball. And, you know, we want to be at the forefront of all that and dedicating the 23 clubs specifically to baseball. We don't want to take away from what Team Boneyard's doing because those guys are awesome. You know, we want to be able to help them as well. But this is our dedicated focus for baseball that are by former players for players. And yeah, we're just getting started. We want to continue to build it. You know, it's been a slow walk a little bit for us because we're still trying to figure out, navigate exactly what we can, cannot do. But so far, we've got a tremendous amount of feedback, positive. We got a lot of good ideas, and we want to, you know, really build upon what we've done this year.
Yeah, love that perspective. Really, you know, what NIL was intended to be, not what it has in many cases become, you know, especially in, you know, football and men's basketball where you're trying to buy a winner. But, you know, it's great to see, you know, more recent guys like the St. Louis Cardinals, Alec Burleson. I know Burley, as well as other more recent players, Harrison Eldridge, kind of an in-between there, you know, a little bit closer to your time.
And there's a lot of guys, you know, like there's a lot of guys that, you know, have given. I mean, we just, you know, it's hard to get to everybody. We want to give everybody their due. And some of these guys don't care. They're like, look, I'm just going to give because that's what I do. Don't worry about it. Right. And it's like, well, yeah, that's awesome. You know, but, you know, we want to recognize these former players who are helping and giving back because it is important. Like, it's important to see these guys who've put their blood, sweat, and tears in this program. And now we're kind of giving back on the back end and helping with what they've done, becoming professionals and successful in life. And the guys that are playing out, and I didn't have this foresight as much, but I wish I did when I was a player, you know, being able to tap guys who played before me, right? When I was looking for my first job, right? Man, it would have been awesome to be able to tap a network of former alumni players who say, oh yeah, so here's another ECU brother right here. Let's give him some advice. Let's give him some networking opportunities. You know, let's get him started on the right foot in his career. I mean, that would have been worth more to me than, you know, $500 in NIL money all day of the week, right? And that's really, I think, the long-term vision and the goal of what we want to do. And if we can do that correctly, again, you know, we should be one of the top opportunities for players to stay with us, to give their blood, sweat, and tears, and to contribute to the program. So that's really the ultimate opportunity.
Kind of, and spending a little time on the story that Coach Godwin shared earlier this season, I guess leading into the season, was how a particular ACC program came after Treya Savage, made him a very lucrative offer, and you know, we and I think Trey had some of that perspective that you were just talking about, that, you know, we're going to do everything we can to take care of him and, you know, pay him what we can. But at the same time, he understood the opportunity he has at East Carolina with Coach Godwin, Coach Knight and staff and everything, the entire picture at ECU, and that, you know, his payday, that even bigger payday will come from ECU just like it could from another institution.
Yeah, and I think, look, everybody's got to make their own decision, you know. you know, and I wouldn't fault anybody for making any other decision, right? This was best for them.
Right.
But, you know, I do think we need a little bit more of a long-term, you know, long-term focus when it comes to this stuff. You know, just, you know, if a player, look, if a player is looking for the highest and best offer year in and year out from a program, this is my personal opinion, that player is probably not an East Carolina player, if that makes any sense, right? Like that's not the culture that has been established. That's not what exactly I feel like we're looking for. I think we've done a pretty good job of that so far. And I know it's new. I still know there's a lot of moving parts here. But again, we want to reward the guys that reward the program and give to the program and are loyal to the program. That's the goal. We're not out there, you know, dangling checks in front of recruits trying to get them to come. That's not our focus. And you know, we want to continue to let the current guys know that.
Absolutely. And and kind of taking a closer look at the approach to the 23 club, and this was kind of this is really a thought that I had prior to the great news that the 23 club was coming into existence. Excuse me. My dad and I were just talking about the number you hear so much with Division I baseball, 11.7, right? And there's even a podcast out there, the 11.7 podcast. But you know, guys, you know, aren't going to be able to get but so much scholarship money. And then in recent years, you've heard with the impact of COVID and, you know, having fifth and sixth year guys, like,
right,
you've had that impact where guys can't get any scholarship money because what's been, you know, promised to incoming guys. And you've had prominent players that are getting nothing or right, next to nothing. And people wouldn't believe that until they heard it, you know, from Coach Godwin himself. So looking at the cost of an out-of-state scholarship, I believe it's $21,000, $22,000, obviously always increasing. And then the cost of an in-state scholarship, the number that I came up with, like if you could raise, you know, $750,000 to $1 million, that you could make it where, in essence, people were on a full ride if you chose for it to be that way, and if that makes sense. And whatever that gap was, let's say they're getting 35%, then that 65% scholarship cost could be made up in NIL if the coach and the 23 club opted to go down that path. And obviously that individual and their family could choose to spend the money how they wanted to, but they would be getting the cost of a full ride.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity. I think Eric Backage mentioned, I read an article when he was talking to the Clemson Alumni Network. You know, he said, we need $1 million. We need $1 million. That's what we need to compete. Now, Clemson and ECU are different situations a little bit. But, you know, we don't really have a number target right now. We want to be very grassroots, right? The last thing I want to do is knock on the doors of big donors every single year and say, hey, I need you to write me another big check, right? Because that's just not sustainable, number one, you know, and number two, you're kind of walking on a tightrope year in and year out, whether you're going to get that funding or not. So as grassroots, like me, you, my alumni network, you know, if we're giving $23 a month, right? If we're giving $50 a month, $100 a month, right? And it's something we do as part of our giving, annual giving to East Carolina. You know, those numbers add up in the long run. They add up, they snowball. There's things we want to do in the future, right? So different membership tiers, different membership events, swag, you know, all those things. We want to give back to the folks that support us as well. But, you know, we don't want it to be a you know, hey, you're buying a hat, right? Thank you. One time gift of a hat. Thank you. Here you go. Right. We're not a merchandiser. That's not what we're trying to do as well. But, you know, I think if we get that grassroots, if we can build that base, That's going to make a huge difference in the long run that we can do some of those things you're talking about. Because, yeah, the scholarship thing is kind of ridiculous. I don't understand it. I've never understood it. But, you know, it's getting more and more competitive every day for the talent that comes, you know, the kind of talent that's attracted to ECU. So we've got to be in a position that we can help Cliff in any way possible.
And to your point, you know, I believe, you know, we sell over 2,500 baseball season tickets. I mean, you've been where people have to buy those season tickets if they want to guarantee themselves, you know, what we'll hopefully be experiencing, you know, here in just over a week, and that's hosting another regional.
Right.
And that's something that, unfortunately, under Coach Godwin and staff, you know, has become almost an annual thing over the last 5 years or so. And kind of like Bethany Bratcher's book, who I definitely highly respect and encourage folks to buy that book, Never Take This for Granted. Yep. Just like you're saying, $23 a month, that comes out to what, $276 annually. If you have your season ticket holders or other folks, you know, who love the program, give it that level, you know, you can do the math. I mean, you, with 1,000 people giving it that level, you're raising over $250,000.
It's sustainable, right? Like, that's your base. If you can get that base, if you can get it where you have the bread and butter of the program who supports our program, then the big dollars will come, right? Then the big donors will come. So all that kind of stuff kind of compounds on itself. But yeah, I know Jared and the guys at, you know, in the jungle, they say this all the time as well. You know, never take this stuff for granted. And, you know, now we take hosting regionals for granted, which is insane, right? I mean, like, that never happened before. And it's a big deal. It's a huge deal. You know, it's giant for Greenville, you know, as a baseball town. I mean, we really, really need to embrace it and do everything we can to support it and continue, at least give us the opportunity to continue to have these things happen for our program at school.
Yeah, so vital. And, you know, going back to your era, you know, when we had the chance to host for the very first time in 2001 in Wilson, and anybody who had the chance to experience that, you know, gave you chills. You know, when you saw you guys break your team huddle coming toward the dugout there at Fleming Stadium in Wilson, heck of an atmosphere. And there's only been once that we've hosted that we did not advance. And then, of course, in 2018, where we had some bad luck with the rain and could not use Jake Agnos the way we would have liked. But it's so critical, and the success on the field reflects it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it definitely gives you an advantage. You know, and look, the Greenville crowd, the ECU baseball crowd, is second to none. I played at a lot of places. Man, it's incredible. And it's gotten so much. Yeah, I played at the old Harrington Field, right? I don't think some of you guys might not remember that. yeah, we had bleachers and chain link fence. That's what we had. But it was, you know, that's how the jungle started out there. I mean, that was the start of it. I remember my dad and Charlie Martin, Tony Brown, Bill Clark, those guys built the first set of stadium seats out there a long time ago. And to see back then when I was in, you know, middle school and high school going to games to what it is now is just completely, completely incredible.
Yeah, like you said, the jungle truly was the jungle back in those days. Yeah. You were standing on stacked pallets or cinder blocks and nothing.
I think it started because you didn't need tickets to go see games back there. You know,
right.
You just drove up behind the field and watched the game. So
yeah, save your $4 or whatever it was at the time. But yeah, nothing like leaning on the gold piping on the top of the fence and putting your forearm in some sap that's just dripped, or having some sap dripping your hair while you're watching the game. But yeah, a lot of fond memories from those days at Harrington Field. You know, kind of as we're, you know, wrapping the conversation up, Mike, you know, tell Pirate Nation and those loyal supporters of ECU baseball, you know, kind of what your vision is. You've kind of gone in that direction a little bit, but I know here in the last couple of weeks we had David Price on from Team Boneyard, and we also plan on having Matt Slate on later this summer. And those guys have talked about it getting to the point where it's so big, you don't want to farm it out to just anybody. But at the same time, you guys, as we were discussing off there, you know, you're a business owner. You have your life outside of this. So it's almost getting to the point where you need to farm it out.
Yeah. And that, you know, we're, you know, in case listeners don't know, you know, we are part of Team Boneyard. So we're sort of a sub brand of Team Boneyard, specifically focused on baseball. So those guys do all the heavy lifting. I mean, really, I mean, for the back end stuff, and they're incredible. You know, Hank Hinton and, you know, Matt, and talked to all these guys. I mean, they've been wonderful. They love the vision. They know what we're trying to do. You know, yeah, I mean, I think as this thing progresses, look, this is not a Mike Harrington thing. Like, I just kind of de facto became the face of it and you know, just working with the guys to get it off the ground. But it doesn't need to be – it's nothing about me. You know, it's about what the program needs, and it's about, you know, creating a sustainable long-term operation that this thing survives, you know, year after year after year. And really, and, you know, obviously, you know, Cliff has no involvement in it. You know, he can't. You know, this is something that us as alumni wanted to do for the program. And so it's up to us as alumni to continue it and to make sure it's operated in the most, you know, efficient and in the best way manner to kind of achieve the objective. So that's where we're at. Not sure exactly the next steps, you know, for us, but we do have some things in the works that we want to do for next season. This was sort of a test season for us, see where it goes. Let's see what kind of feedback we get. And we've gotten the positive feedback. So now it's time to really, you know, dive in and put the pedal to the metal.
There you see it on the screen as it's been scrolling throughout the conversation. 23club.org is where you can go, but, you know, tell folks a little bit more, you know, about that website and the ways that they can give.
Yeah, we have different levels. 23club.org. You can go on there, choose whatever fits your budget. You can do a custom. I think you can still do a custom amount as well. But, you know, $23 a month is really what we're aiming for. I feel like that's a really good number. Obviously, with 23, that's a little marketing tactic as well for our program. But something everybody can do. Again, build that grassroots foundation for our program. And all that money, you know, it matters in the end. You might think, oh, well, what is that going to do? Well, you know, at the end of the day, it adds up. And we're not, you know, we're not football, we're not basketball. You know, some of these numbers thrown about in those sports is just ridiculous. You know, another $500 to $1,000 for a kid is a lot. It matters, right? It matters at the end of the day to help buy books. It matters to, well, I don't know, do they even buy books anymore, Bubba? I don't even know if they do that anymore.
That's a good question. With so many online classes, yeah, yeah.
Just
largely become a thing of the past.
something to help them, you know, take a little bit of the worry out, you know, as they're playing and giving back, going to school, number one, right? Cliff's a giant academic proponent. That's why you're at ECU, number one, is to go to school. Number two is to play baseball. So we want to make sure those guys have those advantages and can concentrate on those two things.
And what a job they've done, you know, off the field. And we've talked about the excellence that's been achieved, winning 5 straight conference titles in the regular season. I'm not even talking about some of those tournament championships and regional championships, but excellence in every facet in the classroom and in the community as well. So many community service hours. And then yeah, in the classroom, the string of, you know, however many consecutive semesters, maybe 5 or 6 years now of 3.4 or higher is remarkable.
Remarkable. And that, again, that's going to do more for all those guys in the long run than, you know, winning the next conference championship. Although we want to do that, right? That's a lot of, you know, get a lot of bragging rights doing that. But, you know, getting that degree, you know, getting yourself on the next stage of your life and your career. I mean, churning these guys, these successful folks out. I mean, long-term, that's got the biggest benefit to the program than anything.
And for full disclosure, this conversation is, of course, pre-recorded, but I mean, later on today, the Pirates will be taking on the Wichita State Shockers down in Clearwater, and some great news is Wyatt Lunsford Shinkman will get the ball for our Pirates.
Yeah, can't wait to see those guys. You know, we're definitely thinking about Trey, man. We don't rush it. We want to see him get healthy for sure. Whether he plays for us again or not, I mean, he's been a tremendous asset, great guy for the program. Can't wait to see Wyatt out there and the guys hitting. I mean, what a game last game, right? 12 runs in the eighth inning. I mean, that's that's not on your bingo card, I don't think, is it?
Not at all. It reminded me, I was thinking once I knew you were coming on the show, it made me think of that 2004 team that was so offensive and you guys were playing Cincinnati. And it seems like Cincinnati had some renovations going on at their ballpark and had to play at a high school field or some other stadium in the area. But you guys went up there and put up 32 runs in one game and 60 for the series.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I was telling you, I'd never forget that game. I mean, it was, I think Jamie Page was 7-for-7 on that last game. Just kind of incredible. It was fun. That was a really fun season. That 04 team, we kind of came in and thought we had a good, had some good pieces, thought we were in a good position, and we kind of shot out of a cannon. Sort of like this team is doing this year. I mean, it was really fun. I think we reached fourth in the country at one point during the season.
You actually even got up to third before you lost that midweek game to UNC Wilmington. But then you were able to go down to the Port City and beat them 3-0 a week or two later, and then you got the best of them in the Kinston Regional. So it evened out.
Yeah, no. So that was, I mean, that was really fun. I never forget John Popper. We were all sitting around one time. We were like, if we win this series or this tournament, we could be number one, And of course, that didn't happen. But, it was fun. That was really fun to think about, at that time. And, fell a little bit short of the goal, obviously, at South Carolina. But, really, really, really fun season.
Well, really appreciate a little over a half hour of your time, Mike. And we'll definitely have you on in the future. And look forward to everything that this season and the future holds for ECU baseball, and hope to bump into you next weekend down at Clark LeClaire Stadium at the Regional.
Sounds good. Thanks, Bubba. I appreciate it.
Pirate Nation, that is ECU baseball alum Mike Harrington from 2001 to 2004. I really appreciate all the folks at Team Boneyard and the 23 Club for all they do for ECU baseball. Really appreciate you tuning in to the Sports Objective. Be sure to follow us, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and when you subscribe, click the notification bell and all so you're alerted on your device when we go live or upload new content. Follow us on social media, on X at the Sports OBJ, on Instagram and TikTok at the Sports Objective, and like and follow our Facebook page. But for Mike Harrington of the 23 Club, I'm Bubba Rosenbaum. You've been watching and listening to The Sports Objective. We'll talk to you soon. And as always, go Pirates.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.